This is the Pet Podcast on pets.ca, episode number 25 for September 2nd, 2007. Well, how's it going there, everyone? Welcome to the Pet Podcast on pets.ca. This is episode number 25, and my name is Marco, and I'm happy to be doing this podcast with you. For today's podcast, we are going to be doing an interview with Dr. Lee, and this time we're going to talk about allergies and dispel some of the myths and talk about why people are allergic and things that they can do, and talk about allergies in general for both cats and dogs. As always, Dr. Lee has some really good insight, so you're bound to learn something interesting. But before we get into the interview with Dr. Lee, we're going to get into the positive news story. And the positive news story this week is a story that we found in the National Post about the Pet Railroad. And it's a really heartwarming story, in particular about this dog named Apollo. And Apollo was an abused dog, and we don't want to get into the abuse because this is a positive story. But he was an abused dog in Arkansas, and ultimately he was saved by Tracy Dawson, who is in Brampton, Ontario. And Tracy has decided to foster Apollo until a permanent home can be found, and she's willing to do it for as long as it takes. And basically, the article goes on to describe how about 40 people helped coordinate the transport of Apollo from, you know, a rural town in Arkansas to Brampton, Ontario. You know, and using the internet and coordinating transport, using websites and things like that, you know, a lot of volunteers have been able to save pets' lives. And of course, you know, if you're listening, you know that we also have some transport forums on pets.ca, and there's a lot of dedicated people there that are also saving lives. So, you know, kudos to everyone that takes animals' safety and security and well-being, you know, so seriously, and they take it to heart. As we all know on our site, you know, pets are forever, pets are part of the family, and we so have a soft spot and a warm spot and an important spot in our hearts for cats and dogs. So kudos not only to the people that helped save Apollo's life and so many others' lives, but kudos to, you know, everyone, including the people on our board, and a special mention to the people on our bulletin boards that that help so much every single day, and they help the best way they can, one by one. So two paws up to Tracy Dawson for helping Apollo, and for everyone else that also sets up transport and helps save the lives of our beloved pets. Of course, we're going to put a link to the actual story in the show notes, and of course, you're able to comment. You can do so, as always, via the blog, www.pets.ca/blog. On the forum, make your way to the forums on www.pets.ca, or of course, you can comment by email, pets.ca@gmail.com, and it's always appreciated. You can also subscribe for free using Google Reader or using iTunes. Just click the link on the front page of our blog, and it's an easy way to get automatic delivery every time we do a podcast. So now let's get into the actual interview we did with Dr. Lee. Let's get right into it now. So I'd like very much to welcome Dr. Lee back to our show. Dr. Lee is always gracious with his knowledge, and today we thought we were going to talk about something that comes up over and over again, and it's the topic of allergies and allergies in pets. So first off, welcome Dr. Lee. Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me back.
It's always a pleasure, always a pleasure. So this question comes up over and over again, and there's new knowledge on it, old knowledge on it, but I guess we wanted to know, what makes people allergic to pets?
When people have an allergy, what happens is their body sees something that is normal, but thinks of it as being an infection. So they will take a look at an allergen, and what may not trigger any type of response in one person may trigger a reaction in another. In general, with dogs and cats, the saliva or apocrine secretions, so the saliva or sweat glands, contain the allergens that people become allergic to.
So it's not, so just excuse me for a sec, so it has nothing really to do with the fur in a direct way. It's only an indirect way. The actual thing that people are allergic to is indeed the saliva that gets on the pet's fur when they lick themselves, when they groom themselves?
Correct. When they, just like pollen, there's nothing inherently bad or wrong about pollen, and many people, their bodies don't really see it as any type of a problem. But there are some people that when they get in contact with the pollen, their body sees that as some type of an active infection and will go and mount an antigenic response. So that's where the problem comes in, is not so much the saliva or the proteins in the saliva, but how the person's body deals and recognizes that saliva. And the saliva then, as the pets groom themselves, spread that protein all over their hair. And so then as they shed, you have hair falling throughout the house that has the saliva, which has the protein that the person may be allergic to.
Excellent. Very concise. And by using that logic, is it safe to assume, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, that because cats are greater self-groomers than dogs, that that is the reason that most people have a stronger allergy to cats than dogs?
In general, they're going to have a higher concentration of the saliva on the hair.
Okay, so it's the concentration of the saliva and not necessarily the amount of time they groom themselves.
Well, I think that's a combination. The amount of times that they groom themselves is going to lead to increased spreading of the saliva.
Perfect, perfect. So now, like, another question. Why would, if it is indeed in the saliva, why do some dogs tend to have a lighter allergic reaction with certain people that are allergic than other dogs?
There have been some thoughts that certain dogs may have less of the protein in their saliva than others. Also, there's a number of breeds that are what are considered low shedders. Poodles, Kerry Blue Terriers, Poolies, they're going to be low shedders, and so there's going to be less of the hair and less of the saliva in the house. In cats, we also see this with Bengals and Abyssinian cats, both which are low shedders.
Well, thanks very much for that answer, Dr. Lee. So now we got an interesting question for you, and maybe you've heard of this before, and maybe you get this. Let's say, you know, a patient comes in, and they are allergic to their pet, or they have a mild or major allergy to their pet. Is there any way or medications that we can give to our pets to make us humans less allergic? Is this a good idea? What's your opinion on this?
There are a number of things that we can do. In general, I think a lot of the online companies or the really expensive solutions are probably going to be more of a waste of money than anything else. The idea, again, we're trying to get the amount of saliva out of the fur and then out of the house. So the things that we can do are going to be really geared towards trying to keep this saliva level low. Increased bathing can be a really easy way of answering this, just by getting rid of washing off a lot of the saliva. There are a number of combs and brushes. One of them, which I really like, is called the Furminator. And what that does is it actually thins the hair coat. As you brush through, it cuts through some of the hair. Hair coat looks the same, but the amount of hair inside of that fur is a lot less. So then as they're walking through the house, there's going to be a lot less shedding. So that can help out quite a bit.
Would other things also be like, I don't know, air filtration systems, things like this?
There are a number of vacuum cleaners and air purifiers that have HEPA filters, and those are going to be probably your most efficient way of getting rid of allergens.
Okie doke. And I guess back to the original question, not that I personally would want to encourage this, but are there medications out there that people give to their pets to make that saliva production lower or make the allergen within the saliva lower?
There are. There's been one that's been used for a long period of time called acepromazine. And there for a while, there was a thought that the medication may decrease the amount of the protein that is causing the allergen. But as more studies have shown, what it does is it just sedates the pet, so they just do less grooming behavior. So there's really not a good oral or any type of injectable medication that's used for this. There are a number of products out on the market which are designed to reduce shedding. A lot of how those work is they actually stimulate a shedding cycle, so the pet will shed a lot and then will go through a longer period of time without shedding. So that is another option to use.
At least for me, that seems like the more humane approach. I mean, if you have a pet that's sort of zombie-like, that might not be the best pet for you, even though they're making your allergy symptoms less. So I guess personally, I'd be into option number two, I would suggest.
Same with me. If you're going to sedate them to the point that they're not doing any grooming, stuffed animals are a lot eat a lot less.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okie doke. And I guess on the human end of it, if people want to talk about what medications that they themselves can take, obviously they should consult their doctor or allergist who is going to have, obviously, a much more updated repertoire of meds and solutions for them.
And there's a lot of great options available now. Again, as we were talking about earlier, a number of my classmates, which are veterinarians in small animal practice, were highly allergic to dogs and cats, and they seem to be doing just fine with their allergies.
Okay, very good. So again, you know, on the human end of it, you know, go see your allergist or family doctor to get a referral.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. I would agree. Okie doke. And then, so lastly, I guess I just wanted to ask, you know, what do you tell your patients with allergies to pets? I suspect, obviously, you know, the best thing you want to tell them is you want to speak to them before they get a pet and maybe, you know, counsel them against it. What's your opinion on this in general?
I always think, I mean, having a pet is a big responsibility. I mean, it is a life that we're in charge of. So I think that when we go to adopt, it's always a good idea to get as much information as possible. If you're having a lot of allergies and you're worried about your reaction to that, I think talking to your doctor and also being around some of the pets and seeing what your reaction is prior to purchase or adoption is a very good idea. Also, whenever we're dealing with dogs and cats, the breeds are very different. It changes their size, their activity, their requirements. And so I think consulting with a veterinarian or a trainer or someone that's very familiar with breeds prior to adoption is always a great idea. It's going to make for a much easier time for both the pet and the person.
I think that actually makes good sense. You know, if you think you may have an allergy or you know you have a slight allergy and you know you want a specific breed, maybe try spending some time with that breed, you know, before just saying, oh, I spent some time with a Chihuahua or a Poodle and I'm fine. You know, if it's a Belgian Malinois, for example, and that's what you really want, spend some time with a Belgian Malinois and, you know, and see what your allergy level is like.
Right, and most shelters will allow, they have specific areas when you go to rescue a pet that you can spend time with them and spend quite a bit of time interacting with the pet, seeing how you react to it. Also, pet stores also have a similar setup.
Perfect. I think that makes like really good sense. Obviously, you know, pets are forever. They're supposed to be forever. So, you know, I think we need to be really sure about our tolerance before we get the pet. Obviously, that solution makes the most sense.
It's got to be a good decision for all parties involved.
Especially the pet.
Exactly. Another note, because the allergen has a high concentration in the saliva, when the dogs or cats do lick you, if you are allergic, it is important to wash very quickly because that will cause a much higher concentration of your exposure to those allergens.
Perfect. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we conclude?
I think that's it.
Okay, cool, cool. Well, thanks again for this podcast, as well as all the podcasts, Dr. Lee. This was a bit of a short one, but you know, I think we got some good points across, and I know many of our visitors, especially the new ones, will benefit from it. It's an old topic. We get it so often on the bulletin board, and I'm sure you get it so often, but there's new pet owners every single day, so you know, I'm glad we recovered this issue once again, and thanks so much for your input.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Lee, and we'll speak to you again in the near future.
Perfect. Looking forward to it.
Bye for now.
Bye.
And that was our interview with Dr. Lee on the topic of allergies and cats and dogs. As always, it's such a pleasure to do interviews with Dr. Lee. He's so knowledgeable. He always gives us some tips. And it's just a pleasure to get a vet's perspective and a regular vet's perspective, actually. Dr. Lee's been doing this with us for a while now. And he seems to enjoy it. And I know I do. And we're going to continue bringing you these podcasts. So, you know, if you have a suggestion on something you'd like to hear, as always, using comments, any of the ways we mentioned before, please comment on future podcasts that you'd like to hear, and it'll be our pleasure to consider doing them for you. Dr. Lee, of course, hails from Arizona. He has two animal hospitals, one in Mesa and one in Phoenix, and his website is aachospitals.com. That's aachospitals, all in one word, .com. And of course, if you're looking for a vet in those areas, Dr. Lee would be more than pleased to meet you. Well, that's going to do it for this week's podcast. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. And as always, please give your pets a little scratchy under the chin from Marco. Bye for now.